Have you ever noticed that there are some questions in life that are too much to ask? At least out loud, right? I mean, this guy with the dolls, what in the world, right? Some questions are too much to ask out loud. Maybe you've been there before where maybe you've asked this question. There's a question that you wanted to know, and so you ask. You say it out loud. You blurt out the question. And all of a sudden, after you ask the question, you start looking around, and you see this shock and horror and awkward faces, and you start realizing, uh-oh, I guess that question was not a good question to ask. I guess that was a question that was too awkward, and it's gotten too personal for me to admit that it was me. And so here's what we do. We say, oh, well, I know the answer to that. Or, you know, I wasn't asking for me. I was asking for a friend. I was asking for a friend. In fact, this has been a really fun way. Asking for a friend is a great phrase to get out of almost any awkward situation, right? I'm just asking for a friend, you know? There's a lot of really funny ones as well on social media. I've been kind of watching some of those as we've been preparing for this series. I wanted to share a few with you that I found that I thought were really funny. Here's the first one, asking for a friend. It says, does the 5-second rule still apply if you're inside your own house? You know, asking for a friend. It's like, I'm not saying I ate off the floor, right? I'm not saying that I would do that. I'm just asking for a friend. Here's another one that I thought was great. Is it okay to wear a Snuggie to pick up your daughter from school? Asking for a friend. Some of you are like, I would do that just to embarrass my kids. Like, I know you guys. Like, I know how you work. Asking for a friend. Now, I've got a question for you, but it's not a question for me. I'm asking for a friend, okay? It's not about my hearing. When you hear this recording, what do you hear? Check it out.
Laurel. Laurel. Laurel.
All right, so let's try it in this room. How many of you heard the word Yanny? How many of you heard the word Yanny? Yeah, it's about 40%. How many of you heard the word Laurel when you heard that? Yeah, isn't that funny, right? This has been going like crazy all over the world. I don't know what it is. I was a music major, and I'm reading all these technical things about wavelengths. But there's something about the wavelength of sound, the waves of sound that make people hear different things. If it's lowered a little bit or if it's higher a little bit, I don't know. I don't understand it. I'm not asking for me, though. I'm asking for a friend, right? I'm excited as we're starting this series, Asking for a Friend, because what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about some questions that your friend might want to know, right? We're going to be talking about some questions about life and questions about faith that maybe people in your life, people around you might want to know, and maybe you want to listen in as well. And we're going to have a little bit of fun with it as well. But the question we're going to be looking at today is this. Here's the question. How do we deal with stress, worry, and anxiety? How do we deal with stress, with worry, and with anxiety? I'm not asking for me, and I'm not saying you're asking for you. We're just asking for a friend, right? And so if your friend is wanting to know any of this, this day is for them. You know, do you remember that scene from The Wizard of Oz? You've seen that movie, The Wizard of Oz. The scene where Dorothy has met her new friends. It's the Tin Man. It's the Scarecrow. You see them. And they're walking through the woods, arm in arm. And all of a sudden, they start talking about what might be ahead of them. Like, they're just, follow the yellow brick road. You know, they're following the yellow brick road. Everything is, you know, it's just smooth sailing until somebody starts bringing up, there's wild animals in these woods. And they're walking arm in arm, and all of a sudden their grip gets tighter, and they start saying to each other this phrase, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, help me out, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. And then they hear this roar from this ferocious lion with a bow in his hair, right? And they've worked up their fear so much, like they've worked up so much of what might be in front of them, that when they meet this lion who has no courage, when they meet a lion who's afraid of his own shadow, they are terrified to death over something that really was no big deal. You know, I think if we were to modernize that scene, right, if we were all walking through the woods together, through the streets of your neighborhood together, arm in arm, people would think we're weird, but just go with it. If we're walking together arm in arm, we might say, it might go something like this today. Stress, worry, and anxiety, oh my. Stress, worry, and anxiety, oh my. Because the truth is, this is one of the biggest things as a pastor that I have seen over and over and over where people say, this is something that is crippling me in my life. This is something that just seems to overtake me, is the stress of what I'm going through, the worry of what might be ahead, or this anxiety that seems to attack when it seems like it has no reason to. Stress and worry and anxiety. These internal issues can be crippling so many times for so many people in this community. And the truth is, we've got a lot of real reasons to be worried and to be stressed and to be anxious. There's a lot of real reasons. They're legitimate. We've got our job, you know, to maintain and to do well. We've got our family life to somehow balance in the middle of that. Maybe if you have kids, you've got kids to raise, and you're trying to figure out, how do I raise my kids and not mess them up? And how do we, you know, kind of leave a good legacy, but like not the way, you know, I lived my life kind of thing? You know, how do we do that? And at the same time, we have these crazy busy schedules, so many of us. I taught T-ball this past year, and I was realizing that all the people who said yes to coaching and to leadership in any kind of way, it's always the highest capacity people who are doing the most already in their life, right? It's always the people who do the most who seem to say yes and who seem to get picked for stuff, right? And so, you know, maybe this is like you, right? If you're busy, you seem to get asked to do more things because you're, you know, you have that ability, right? And so we've got crazy busy schedules to manage with all of our activities, and we're trying to balance all of that and not go insane. or maybe then we've got our money to manage. We've got our house responsibilities, and the HOA starts sending letters about this time that you got a little weed in your grass, right? And then you got to redo all this stuff. You got your cars to take care of. I just got a flat tire yesterday and on my way over here. And it's just, isn't it crazy how much time that eats up out of your day? I had a free day, not anymore. Then we got all these other things in our lives that are belongings to take care of. And then we start thinking about these questions about the future. Maybe we start thinking like, am I prepared? And do I have what I need? And do we have what it takes? And what about my kids? Like, are they ready? Am I preparing them? And all these questions. And then we got questions about God and about our faith. Like, are we prepared for the future? Like, where are we when it comes to God, when it comes to heaven and someday in the future for our lives? And then we get anxious about all the things that are happening in our schools when we see things like the shooting that we saw again this past week. How devastating. We see things in our government and in our country and in our world and all these things that we can't seem to control. Are you worried yet? Making you anxious yet? So in the middle of all this chaos, what I want to do today is I ask this question really. Is that with all the stuff that's surrounding us in our lives and in our world, can God actually give us real help? You know, like, are we just here singing some songs and then we go back to our normal lives? Or does Jesus make a difference in the middle of what we face? Now, here's the thing. Stress and worry and anxiety, it oftentimes feels like different things. Some of us, I think a lot of times, the guys don't like to talk a lot about anxiety. We'll say we're stressed, you know, we're kind of stressed. There's a lot going on, right? And so sometimes we're like, I don't know about anxiety. I don't know what that is, right? On the other hand, some people may be dealing with worry or with anxiety. And you say, you don't even realize what's going on and how debilitating it can be. So we can feel different in our lives. But if you reduce it down, all three, the root of all three come to a very similar place. It starts in a similar place. All three in some kind of way are about being nervous or uneasy about a current circumstance, whether it's a real circumstance or a perceived circumstance. Think about your kids. There's a monster under my bed, right? I hope that's not a real circumstance, right? I hope that's perceived, but we're still worried about what's in front of us right now. Or on the other hand, we can become uneasy about the future, about a circumstance or an outcome. What if this happens? And so we say things like this: I'm stressed. How are we going to get through this right now? How are we going to make it right now about a current thing? Or we look to the future and we start to say, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And if I do this and this and then what if? And we start to replay in our mind all the what ifs and all the bad things that can happen. And so today, what I want is I want your friend to know, right? I want your friend to know that even if you don't understand you, even if your spouse doesn't understand you, that God understands you. That God understands you and that God is with you and that God wants to give you real hope and he wants to offer you freedom even today. And so today, as we dig into God's word, I want to do it in kind of a fun way, kind of an interesting way. We're going to do it by looking at a song in the Bible. Y'all like music? You like music? We're going to look at a song in the Bible. And have you ever noticed that music has the ability to speak things to us or to grab hold of us in ways that just words alone don't? You know, think about this. One of the great example is when you're a little kid, you learned certain things and they got ingrained in your heart and in your spirit and who you are just by a song. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, right? I used to think L, M, N, O was one word, one letter, right? Because I learned it by a song, right? And so this is how it works. And when I was little, I remember singing this song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, I was little then, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. But here's what happens when you get a little bit older. It's kind of cool how songs work. These things get implanted in your life because you start going through a situation. All of a sudden, a song will come up from your past. And you're going through something really difficult, and all of a sudden this song, like, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, I feel so weak right now, but you're strong, God. And all of a sudden you're reminded because of the song of, like, who God is and what God can do. This is the power of song. And so all the Psalms, the book of Psalms, was actually meant, it was written to be music. It was written as poetry that's meant to be sung. Or it's meant to be played on your iPod, meant to be heard, right? And so one of the things, it's meant for these songs about God. They got a rhythm, they got a beat, but it's meant for them to jump into your heart so you can grab hold of them and take them with you wherever you go. And so that's what we're going to look at today, Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And the reason I picked this psalm, the reason I thought this was great, is because Psalm 46 is written in a time when whoever wrote it is going through stress. They're worried and they're anxious about what's in front of them. And they start speaking these truths about who God is. And there's a couple parts of the song. There's verse 1, and then there's a chorus. And we're going to look at that first. Then we'll see verse 2, and then the chorus comes up again. Are you ready? So let's look at verse 1 and the chorus. Here's what it says, Psalm 46, starting in verse 1 through 7. This is verse 1 and chorus. It says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, in other words, because of everything I just said, because God's our help and strength ever-present in times of trouble, therefore I will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Here's the chorus. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I mean, it's got a good tune to it. I mean, you know, we could put a tune to it and make it a great song, right? It's got great lyrics, great stuff behind it. No, we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm. A lot of the psalms are kind of like we think David wrote a lot of the psalms, but we don't know who wrote this one. And I was going to tell you all these facts about David, then I realized, man, David didn't write this. So here's the thing. I was thinking, why do we not know this? I think it's almost because, almost like Jesus Loves Me, I don't know who wrote that song. It's just such a song that's part of the community of faith. And I almost think that Psalm 46 is kind of like that. Maybe we don't know who wrote it because maybe it was just such a psalm that it's a song that just kind of belonged to the community. Everybody kind of knew it. Everybody kind of sang it. And so the thing is, even though we don't know who wrote it, it gives us a real pathway of how to deal with stress and worry and anxiety in our lives. And what it doesn't say and what it doesn't mean is by doing these things, it's going to absolve every problem in your life. It doesn't mean that you're never going to have stress and never going to be worried, never going to be anxious. What it does mean is that God can give us actual, real help in our lives, right in the middle of it. I want you to notice the very first thing the psalmist does is he starts by declaring, he doesn't start by declaring how big his problem is. He doesn't start by, this is how we do in our lives when we're stressed and we're anxious and we're worried. We want to just keep playing like a broken record the bad things that are in front of us. But I've got through this and this and this, and they mount up like this big mountain that we can't overcome. He doesn't start by saying, oh, these are all my problems and this is how bad it is. He doesn't start with how intense his own feelings of stress and his own feelings of anxiety are. Instead, he starts with this, God, how big you are. how big you are in the middle of everything that I'm going through. He starts with God. See, what I found is so many times we allow what's in front of us to shape or to dictate everything we experience in our lives. And the truth is, we zoom in on those problems and replay them over and over, and they become bigger and bigger and bigger. Sometimes lions and tigers and bears, they look bigger than they really are when they come into reality. Now, the truth is, you can't control what you go through, but you can, in a lot of times, control how you respond to it. And so I love that this songwriter doesn't close his eyes. He doesn't stick his finger in the ear and say, la, 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 and ignore the problems. Did you notice that? He doesn't just say, God, you're so big and don't worry about all this stuff. No. He says, even though the earth gives way, he says, though the mountains fall, though the waters roar, though the mountains shake, though the kingdoms fall and nations are in uproar. Sounds really bad, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's like think about the problems in our lives. Like, man, I had a test to take and I was kind of stressed about the test, right? Doesn't sound like mountains are roaring and things are falling apart, right? But so this is really, really big problems. And so he actually names all the chaos around him. He's not ignoring it. He names it. And for you, it may not be mountains falling and, you know, and waters that are roaring, but you can insert your own problems here, right? Your own things that you're anxious and worried about. And it may be for you that you're struggling with your marriage or you don't have the marriage you wanted to have. Maybe for you, it's your kids are making you crazy. Amen, right? It may be that your health or maybe your finances are kind of out of whack or not where you want to be. It could be that when you look at the future, it's like the Dorothy scene. When you look at the future, all you see in front of you and all you feel is fear. But here's what it says. He says this, even though I'm facing all that, even though all this stuff is going on all around me, I will not fear because I'm so strong that I can handle it. Nope, that's not what he says, right? I will not fear because I just close my eyes and then I see, you know. Anyway, we sang that last week. I close my eyes and I just ignore everything. No, he says, I will not fear because he knows this first truth. It's this, number one, he knows that God is with me. And God is stronger. I will not fear when I face fear and anxiety and stress and all this stuff. I don't have to because God is with me and because God is stronger. See, the reason we can stand up and face our stress and just face our worry and anxiety is because we're not alone. Because when it comes to our life, it doesn't depend on you to hold things up and to hold things together. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, I believe, 16, 17, somewhere in there. And it's when it says this about Jesus, it says, he is Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You know what that means? That means before you get to a struggle in your life, that Jesus, he's before all things, right? It means that Jesus is already waiting there at the end of your struggle, right? Jesus is already waiting there, and he knows and he's present. But it also means that in him all things hold together, that it's not our job to hold things up. And we don't have to try to hold things together, that we can come to our Lord who is strong enough to hold our lives up. And so it doesn't depend on you. Instead, we have to realize that our Heavenly Father is with us. And so when you're pressed up against your problems, or when your problems are singing a song of defeat over and over in your life, the way to overcome it is that, first thing, God is with me and God is stronger. Remember that. God is with me and God is stronger. Now, that sounds like good preacher talk, right? What does this look like in our lives? Doesn't mean you got to say those words exactly, but for you, it may be you're in the middle of something. You maybe say something like this, God, even though at this moment, I feel the chaos around me more than I do your presence. God, I know that you are still with me. And you declare that. God, I know that you're with me. I know that I'm not alone. I know that you're with me. And God, even though this problem seems so big, like way bigger than anything that I feel like I can handle on my own, it's not my job to hold things up and to hold things together. I declare over this, God, that you are stronger than whatever I'm worried about. In fact, here's a big idea that can help you, I think. That you can remember. It's this. The help of God is greater than any trouble. The help of God is greater than any trouble. See, it's tempting to just keep zooming in on our very real problems that are in front of us. And when we do, we can start to believe that they're bigger than anything in the world. But the psalmist looks up. He looks up at how big God is in the midst of everything he's facing. He looks up and he declares how big God is. God, you are with me, and God, you are stronger than anything I face. You know, have you ever heard, this is kind of funny, maybe you've heard somebody listening to music sometime, and have you ever heard somebody say, you know, I don't listen to the lyrics, I just like the beat. You ever heard that before? I don't listen to the lyrics, I just like the beat. Now, I hear this a lot, especially in youth ministry, right? Especially talking to teenagers or whatever, and it's like, do you hear what the words say in that song? Like, that's not a good song, right? Like, oh, I don't listen to the lyrics, I like the beat, you know? And I was thinking, isn't that true? So many times we do the same thing in church, right? That when, man, we like the beat of that song. Every beat is calling out, right? Or we like some song and it's like, you know, the Lord our God is ever faithful. We like that. We like the beat of it. We like the rhythm. We like all this stuff. But it's kind of, we declare these things, and the Lord our God is ever faithful. And we declare that here in church. And we're like, yeah, you're always faithful, God. And then we go through something in our lives, we're like, the Lord our God is faithful in other things, but not in this situation, right? The Lord our God is powerful and he's strong enough, but not big enough for what I'm facing right now. Or God, you're ever faithful. You're faithful on, you know, 20 minutes when we sing on Sundays, right? And so you see how we can like the beat of a song, but we let the lyrics sometimes slide and we don't really let it sink into our lives. You know, I think sometimes we need to understand the backstory. We need to understand the depth of meaning instead of just the beat of a song. And the same is true when it comes to Psalm 46, because he's painting a word picture here. He's like, look, don't just fall in love with a beat. Listen to the words. Listen to what I'm saying about God, because you'll miss the if you're only listening to the beat. Verse 1, I want you to check this out. It says this, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present, which means he's always with you, an ever-present help in trouble. And I was thinking about this word picture. What a great picture this is, a refuge. Now, we don't, in this country, we don't usually have to go to places of refuge a lot of times, right? For us, our house is kind of our place of refuge from, like, the normal world. But in a lot of countries around the world, there is real danger, physical danger, emotional danger. There's danger. And people look for places of refuge where they can find some safety and security from the things that are going on. It's a place of refuge. And I was thinking, you know, God is our refuge. What does that mean? A refuge is really a place that we run to. It's a place that we run to, we flee from, so that we can get safety and security from what's going on around us. We can get protection from danger. And it says, look, this is who God is. He is your refuge. So it means that it gives this picture of God. It says God is a high fortress, like a strong tower. How many of you watched the royal wedding yesterday, right? Guys, you can just wink at me and say, yes, I did. You know, do me some Morse code, so say yes. You know, we had some funny moment in our worship team talking about who listened, who watched it and who didn't, who was eating popcorn at 5 a.m., all that stuff. But anyway, did you notice that scene? Now, I didn't watch it. I'm just asking for a friend. Did you notice that scene after, as they're riding off in the carriage? There's, I don't know what it was, but it looked like it was like this castle thing. There was like this opening that was in the castle, and all of a sudden the new prince and princess, the duchess of whatever, they rode through. Some of you are like, you don't know that? They rode through this amazing like fortress, really. It was this castle type thing. And all the people around them, they're shouting, they're saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they go through this little thing, and all of a sudden, nobody could get in. And I was thinking about that, like, what a cool picture that is. It was like a fortress. It was a place of refuge, right? That they went through this little tunnel, and it was this place of security from them. And I was thinking, like, this is who God is. He's like this strong tower, this mighty fortress, that when we come to God, he can shield us from things that are going on in our lives. He can protect us from things that are going on around us, but also he can invite us in and can lead us to a place of peace and security. You know, when you're stressed and when you're anxious and you're worried, it's a reminder that we can always run to God. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says. He says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. That sounds kind of soft, doesn't it? He cares for you. Great. I can cast my... But here's the thing. When you know the mighty hand of God, that you can cast all your anxiety on him, he is a strong tower that can hold you up, right? Here's what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Apostle Paul says this, "Do not be anxious about anything." But Paul, we got a lot of reasons to be anxious. Like, I don't want to hear, "Don't be anxious." That doesn't help me, right? "Do not be anxious about anything." Here's the thing. "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." The thing is, just what it's saying is just bring your stress, bring your worry to in prayer to your Heavenly Father, because God is with you and God is stronger than anything you face. Then we get to verse 2. Are you ready? Verse 2, verse 8 and 9. Here's what it is. It says this. He says, "Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire." What's this picture of? He's a God, when everything chaotic is going on around you, he's a God that can work in your life and can bring you peace. How many of you have ever listened to music on on one of those real record players, on a turntable? How many of you ever listened to music on a record player? Some of you are like, "What is that? Like, you mean an iPod?" No, not an iPod, right? Talking about one of these, you know? It's not a cassette player. It's not a CD. You know, I'm talking about an old vinyl, you know, kind of record thing. You remember those boom boxes that people used to carry around, you know, with a cassette tape? That was cool. I'm talking about older than that, a record player. And with a record player, the thing that's fun, I love this as a kid, you can actually turn up the speed of it and make them sound like chipmunks. That's fun. You can turn it slower and you can make it sound like this. It's awesome. But what you see with a record player is you can always see the music spinning. The music is spinning and it's spinning and it's spinning. And what do you do when you get to a place in the song that you don't like? What do? You just pick up the needle, right? You pick up the needle and you move it to another place. Usually you move it like, "I don't like this verse. Let's go on to the chorus." And you pick it up and you put it down at a different place in the song. And I think this is what the psalmist is doing when he's writing this, when over his worry and over his fear, over all the things that are replaying over and over in his life, he doesn't let that song continue. He doesn't let it, all the worries and all the anxieties of the world, keep playing over and over in his life. Instead, what does he do? He just picks up the needle. He picks up the needle and he moves it to sing the next verse of the song, remembering what God has done. I think for some of us, one of the remedies of getting through worry and stress and anxiety is for some of us, we just need to pick up the needle. We need to pick up the needle and move to a different place in the song to remember who God is and what God has done. And so that's the second thing I want to tell you about worry and anxiety. Here's the second way to work around that. It's this. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Sing about it. Tell about it. Remind yourself of it. That's what the songwriter does. He just remembers God's faithfulness, and it recenters his perspective of what he's of what God has done and what he's going through. And so when anxiety attacks in your life, one of the things you can do is maybe recall the greatest hits of what God has done in your life. Like, "God, I remember in that time when I had to trust you with my kids. I had to trust you with this decision. I had to trust you with this thing. God, you were faithful then. God, I remember that other time, that time when I didn't know, when you called me, that you wanted to use me. I didn't think I had what it took, but I took that step forward. And God, you met me there, and I saw, God, that you were faithful then." And you start replaying, "God, you were faithful then. You were faithful then." And it reminds you, God, you, since you were faithful then, you can do it again. You're faithful now. Charles Stanley once said, "To overcome worry, we ought to adopt an attitude of joy and thankfulness." And so even if what you're worried about seems too big, when you remember the faithfulness of God in the past, God starts to remind you that he's the same God and he can do it again. He's strong. Here's how it continues, the very last part of verse 2, and then you'll hear the chorus again, verse 10. It says this, my favorite part. He says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth," the Lord says. It says, "The Lord Almighty is with us." Here's the chorus. "The God of Jacob is our fortress." You know, at the end of the day, when it comes to worry and stress and anxiety in our lives, it really is a lot of, if you reduce it down, it really is misplaced trust. Now, it's kind of like, do we really trust in God in this moment, in this situation? Or do we trust more in all the what ifs of what can happen? Do we trust in God in this situation, or do we think that it's all up to us to hold things up and to hold things together? Hear the words of Psalm 46. Be still and know that God is God. Now, let me just say also, recognize that anxiety is very real. For many of you, you may have wrestled with that before. I've got people in my life who have wrestled with it in a big way. And I know that for so many people, it can be very debilitating, and I recognize that. And even though it's, by definition, it's caused by fear and nervousness about what might happen, when anxiety attacks, it sometimes doesn't always have a definable trigger, right? Sometimes you don't know why, but at any moment, all of a sudden, you can go into a panic attack, worried but not sure why or not sure what. And so here's what I know. I want you to know that if you lean into God, I can't explain all of it, all this stuff, like medically and all these things, but what I know is that if you lean into God, God can really help you. That God can help you. It doesn't mean that everything goes away and you never have to worry about it again, but God can help you right where you are. Be still and trust in God. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Psalm 46 is a song, right? It's a song. It's meant to be sung. And so here's the thing I want to encourage you lastly, and it's this. Number three, when you're dealing with worry and anxiety, I want to encourage you, number three, to worship your way through worry. Worship your way through worry. There's been times in my life where I have been through some really difficult stuff, and I'm like so stressed about what might happen. And in those seasons, oftentimes I'll get in the car and I'll crank up some worship music and I'll just start praising God, right? God, I don't even feel this right now, but I need to be reminded right now of who you are. God, you're faithful and you're good and you love me. And what happens when you worship is God actually starts to recenter your life on the Lord. And so when you're feeling stressed or pressed or worried and anxious, you have a choice in that moment. Do you worry? In that moment of worry, you can choose to worship and bring your battle to a heavenly plane. In a moment of panic, you can choose to pray and trust in God and to trust in what he can do in your life. And when you're focusing on the problem and the pressure in front of you, you can shift your focus, pick up the needle, and shift your focus to the living God who is with you and who's stronger than any trouble you face. Be still and know that God is God. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you love us enough to get involved in every little and every big situation of our lives. And I pray, God, for whatever we might be stressed about right now, whatever we might be worried about or anxious about, God, I pray that you would help us to realize that, God, you are with us and you're stronger than anything we face. And God, I pray that you would help us all that you would shift our perspective of the things that we go through in our lives, that we would rightly center ourselves and worship you in light of who you are. And when we do, God, that you would help us to see that you're bigger, you're stronger, you're more powerful than anything we face. And so Jesus, today, as we come to you saying, Lord, we need you, but we pray that you would begin to build into us even more trust in you. Not just collective trust, but trust for each and every moment we go through, to trust you in every season and in every situation. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.